Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Good morning. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to say just a few words before Jeff comes and speaks to us this morning. But I appreciate Graham reading that prophecy from Isaiah chapter 60 and talking about the coming glory, the coming light from God that's going to shine in darkness. And Jeff and Loveless in just a moment is going to illustrate that to us with a report from what he did this summer. I'm thankful to have the opportunity on a Sunday morning to talk about evangelism, because that's what Christianity is about. If we are the light of the world, and if our task really is to carry the gospel to other places, then I'm excited about the opportunity to put that at the forefront this morning and to think about what the Loveless family was able to accomplish and what we were able to accomplish in supporting them and working with them. The fulfillment of that prophecy is in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, where it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light shines in the darkness. That was true 2,000 years ago. It's true today, so long as we will carry the light into the darkness. You know, as children, we're probably all fascinated by darkness. It's mysterious, especially at nighttime. For some reason, in complete darkness, you might remember feeling this, maybe even a little scared, not knowing exactly who was around you or what was around you, who might be near to you. Our imagination can run wild in those moments. We can even convince ourselves that maybe there's a monster nearby, or that maybe someone's sneaking up on us. But when you think about it, darkness is really only mysterious, it's really only scary when we think of it in an absence of light. Because in comparison to light, darkness really isn't powerful at all. No matter how deep the darkness may be, just a little bit of light will begin to extinguish darkness. Just a flip of the light switch will show us that the only power that darkness really has is in the absence, or in the space granted by the absence of light. And when light comes, darkness retreats. Darkness is defeated. As that prophecy told, and as John wrote in John chapter 1, Jesus is the light. And if all of us who claim to walk in the light would carry the light or send the light into the deepest, darkest places of earth, then Jesus will continue to be victorious, because darkness is extinguished by the light. This morning, as I mentioned, Jeff Loveless is going to come and speak to us about his summer, or his family's summer, in Arizona. And we're so proud of them. We're so proud to have been able to send out our own missions interns. We're thankful for this family. We're thankful for their deep commitment to Jesus. We are encouraged by their willingness to shine light in darkness. And they spent the summer in a place of great darkness. In particular, in just the 1 week that I spent there with them, this was one of the places that I've been on this earth where I felt darkness the most. But the most interesting part about it is that we also were able to see the effects of light when it was shined into that community. So let's give our attention to Jeff this morning as he reports to us on their work.
Good morning, and I want to say thank you to everybody. You know, just like last year, Graymere has a long history of giving to mission works, and it was no different this year. So many of you gave so much, whether it was you know, monetary donations or gift cards or, you know, cards of encouragement. The group that came out and gave their physical time and bodies to the work, and it was humbling. And I want to say truly and deeply thank you to everybody that was able to do anything for that. So we'll get started. Can we flip to the next slide? This is a picture. This is not on the res, but this was the mountain that we had to drive over each time that we made the trip from Mesa up to Cibecue and White River on the Apache Reservation. You may not can see it great, but there is a road that twists around, starting at the very top of that and working its way down, and that was just one half of it. And we took this picture from the other side before you have to climb and spiral back up the other side of the mountain. Let's go to the next one. So before Graymere gets out there, my family arrived out on like the 8th, I think, of June. The Dykes family came out, I think, on the 10th it was. And then we got right to it, trying to get supplies, food plus toiletry items and things like that prepared to take up to the reservation from Mesa. We were going to have two trailers. Jim Baker came out and pulled a U-Haul trailer that we were able to fill up, plus we had a trailer from Josh Austin there in Mesa. But the goal was to feed 200 families or, you know, provide supplies for 200 families. Of course, you know, we didn't take any of that out there with us. This was just one Sam's trip that we made, but you can see there's several shopping carts filled back there. This was probably our biggest trip that we made. It was over, I don't know, I think it was close to $3,000 we spent just at that Sam's, just on food. You know, cans of Spam and you know, fruits and vegetables and all sorts of that kind of stuff. And this was more shopping. Again, it was over about 2.5 days that we did this shopping for 200 people. If you sort of compare that to what we did last year before we would make one of these runs, we would have a full week to 10 days to shop. But this time we had 2.5 days before Graymere was going to show up, and we had to get it loaded and ready to go that Sunday morning that the group came from here to come out there to help us. So this is the back of the Dykes rental car there. You can barely see the kids sitting back there above the supplies. This was, again, this was that one big trip, filled up not only the back of their car, but our car was parked next to it, and we filled up the back of it, plus the back seat, plus I think about all of Dawson's lap was filled up with different things, trying to haul it back to the church building to then get it sorted, you know, into categories and, you know, get it taped up and boxed up and ready to put back onto a trailer. And that's, you know, it's one of the things we had 200 bags of flour, also 5-pound bags of flour, and you know, you have to load the flour, then you have to unload the flour, then you have to load the flour back into the van, and then you have to unload it once you get back to the reservation, and then you've got to load it into somebody's car when you pass it out. It's just, you know, it's a lot of loading and unloading of the same things over and over and over again, which can get a little taxing at times, but it was good. These were the buckets we had. This was in the back of the U-Haul that Jim brought out there. So the buckets of supplies, they came courtesy of a couple of different places. Global Missions of Tennessee, which is a benevolent organization that Brian Coggins and Anton Santiago and Darren Dykes are involved with, and you can talk to them more about that. But they were able to secure these buckets, I believe, through the church in Holly Springs, Mississippi. Darren, may have gone by himself or may have gone with somebody else, went down to pick up these buckets in Mississippi a couple of weeks before, maybe a month before the trip, and about half of them were pre-filled, and they would have, you know, shampoo, soap, washcloths, a Bible, like kids' toys, things like that would all be were preloaded in about 95 to 100 of these buckets. The other 100 buckets was part of what we had to fill once we got there. And you know, part of the money that went towards buying all that stuff. And we tried to fill it, you know, but again, similar type things. But these all had to be hauled out there. Again, 100 filled buckets plus, you know, stacked up all the unfilled buckets as well. So this was loading buckets in Sholo. So Graymere comes out. They fly in on that Sunday morning. This had to be such an exhausting day for them. They, you know, were probably up since 2, 3 in the morning, I would think. They get on the plane. They fly out to Phoenix. They get there. It's 108 degrees, you know, early in the morning. Go through worship service there at Salt River. Then we make the 3.5-hour drive up to Sholo through the mountain that I showed you there. And then we get there, and now it's time to work. You know, it's time to do things. This may have actually been like the following morning, but we had all these things that we had to fill the other 100 buckets with. And so, you know, there was a big garage area there at the house that we were staying in, and got everything sorted out. And then it was time to start passing buckets and filling them up. The bags of food were already done, but the group that came out there knocked this out in a hurry, and that was a huge help. So from Sholo, once Graymere gets up there, and we've got two different places that we've got to go on this reservation. Sholo was about 45 minutes north of both places, but they sort of made like a triangle. You know, Sholo, White River was over here, CBQ was over here. It was 45 minutes from both places, and it was 45 minutes from one to the other, right? So there was nothing convenient about getting to any of these spots. So CBQ is a town of about 1,500 people. White River was 5,000 to 6,000 people. So when we sort of decided how we were going to separate everything, we would send about 2/3 of the group to White River and about 1/3 to CBQ, just because, you know, the proportion of more people and things like that. So more of the work went on in White River, I would say. And so this next few slides here, I've sort of separated the White River work from the CBQ work, but essentially the same things were going on in both places. It was about 5 to 8 of us that went to CBQ, and then everybody else was there in White River doing something. This was where we set up camp there in White River. You know, the plan was to do a lot of door knocking when we were there, passing out flyers, inviting people to come to the gospel meetings that were being held those 3 days that Graymere was out there, and providing a meal for them prior to the meeting. But when we get out there, we learn there's a big dog problem on the res. A woman had been killed by some dogs not long before we got out there. And so we were, you know, warned ahead of time to look out for dogs while we were walking. If a house had a sign on it that said, "Beware of dog, don't even walk up there." If they had a, you know, no soliciting sign or no trespassing sign, don't walk up to the house. Just move on to the next house. Well, every house had that. And, you know, and part of that was from COVID last year. It looked like the government had passed out, because they were uniformed signs that all said, like, "Do not come up here." And so they all had to pretty much come from the same place. And so it got to the point where it was like, well, there's almost no sense in going out and knocking doors at this point. It's dangerous. Nobody wants us to come up. But this area here was kind of like their town center. Okay, there was a grocery store there. This particular area was just a big empty parking lot where vendors would set up tents every day for free. We didn't have to pay to set up. So we just became another vendor. We had some tents, so we set up a tent and set our buckets out there and set our bags of food out there. And as people would come to all these other vendors, there was a guy next to us that was selling CDs. There was a lady across from us that was cooking things, and people would go up to her and buy food. And so as all these people are pulling into this parking lot, we would just walk out to them right there and hand them the flyer and say, hey, here's who we're with, here's what we're doing. We're having a meeting tonight. We'd love to invite you to a meal, a free meal. That was sort of the buy-in for people. You know, I mean, even here, everybody loves free food, right? So, you know, we told them we were going to have food, and we'd love to tell them about Jesus. And, you know, even though this area had a lot of darkness, I mean, the response was great, you know? And I think it's probably because when things are dark, everybody wants to see the light, you know? And so any light that we would start to shine, I mean, I can't name one person that just totally blew us off whenever we would try to talk to them. Everybody was willing to give a few minutes and at least listen. Now, not everybody would come and show up, but everybody at least gave us a chance to speak to them. And that's really, you know, all you can ask for. But here's where we would pass things out there. This was over by the school in White River where we had the meetings. This was like the post office area that was right there across from the Theodore Roosevelt School in Fort Apache. This was a great spot to set up as well. You know, and these, you know, I don't know, we probably don't go to the post office very much. I know I don't go to the post office very much, but in a place like this, the post office is busy. I mean, there were people there all the time. And so, you know, Terry Baker and several other people would set up down here, and as people would come in, they would just strike up conversations and tell them why they were sitting out there, and here's our flyer. And again, we're meeting just right, this was right across the street, not even really a street, right across, you know, a big open field from where the meetings were going on, so it was nice and convenient. Hey, you're already in this area, we're just going to meet right over there tonight. And again, we'd love to cook you a meal and tell you a little bit about Jesus. And that was a great spot for everything to go on as well. Again, one day, I think I was in CBQ this day, but this was on Wednesday, I believe. Again, same spot where they set up the tents, but they also decided to cook fry bread, which if you've never had fry bread, you should probably have it at some point. It's, you know, it's good, and it's a traditional Indian food, Native American food, and so, you know, we did our best to cook some up and would also pass that out along with the buckets and the bags of food that were going on there, and it looks like Darren attempting to cook fry bread right there. So, all right, so CBQ, much smaller town. This is about all that's in CBQ. There's really not a lot there. This was the place we went last year. This was the last trip that we made, which was sort of the catalyst for going back this year, where we went to their town center, if you want to call that, which is essentially three buildings connected. One's like a grocery store, one's a post office, and one's a convenience store, and there's two gas pumps. That's it. That is literally everything that's in CBQ other than housing. It's a very depressed area. And same thing here. We that first day, I think from Graymere, it was myself and Darren and Doug Williams and Matt Bowling were there along with some people from Salt River. And we attempted to knock doors, but I think like Darren and I had one person that we were able to talk to. And meanwhile, we had left some people set up at this town center. And in the hour we were gone, they had talked to 50 people and we had talked to one. So again, we sort of changed the plan and said, well, there's no sense in us going out. It looks like everybody's going to come here at some point today anyway. So let's just set up here and pass out that way and talk to people as they're coming in. This particular building, this was a guy that was going to become important to the work named Mo. This was his house, which was right next to the church building that we ended up meeting at. So this is a picture from last year because I didn't have a good, I just wanted to give you sort of a sense of the layout. That building you see in the background, that's it. That's the structure in CBQ other than like the housing authority, I don't know, in the hospital or clinic That's it. This is the other building. And those are the three stores lined up to your left. Would be like the convenience store, post office kind of right in the middle, and then to the right-hand side was like the grocery store, and the gas pumps would be kind of over to the left, out of view there. But we would sit under that awning of those three buildings right there in some lawn chairs and set up a table and had our flyers, pamphlets that we would pass out. As people would walk up, some would stop at the table. Others we had to sort of walk out to give them the material. And it was hot. You know, it's not normally that hot up on the mountain. Again, we're at over 6,000 feet probably here. The 3 days that Graymere came out, I think it was 95 all 3 days. Every other trip that Kelly and I and the girls made, it was like 68 degrees whenever we would go back up there. But it was hot these 3 days that we were walking around. You might as well have been down in Phoenix, but we would spend, I don't know, we'd get out there about 10 o'clock in the morning and usually stay out till around 4, maybe 3, I can't remember now, 3 or 4 o'clock, and then from CBQ, you've got to drive 45 minutes over to White River for the gospel meeting that night. And part of what we did too, we learned very quickly that people were not going to make the drive from CBQ to White River. It cost too much gas money to make the, I think it was about 30 miles or so. And they were just like, look, the first people that I talked to at the gas pump, they said, we appreciate what you're doing, but we're not driving all the way over there. And I can go ahead and tell you, most people aren't going to drive all the way over there. But luckily we had the vans that Graymere had rented when the group came out. And so we were able to provide transportation. Which the first day, I don't think anybody rode the bus from CBQ. The second and third days that we were there, we had several. I think, six or seven the second day and about 10 on the third day that would make the 45-minute ride over with a group of strangers to hear a little bit about the gospel and then eat a meal. And then afterwards, we had to bus them back over to CBQ. And Matt Bowling was doing the driving on this particular van, and then after taking all of them to their houses, we'd have to drive back 45 minutes up to Sholo and probably get back a little after 10 o'clock or so that night. This is Mo. I went to CBQ the first day, White River the second day, and then back to CBQ on Wednesday. I believe they met Mo on Tuesday. It turns out that Mo was sort of the caretaker of this church building, the CBQ Miracle Church, an extremely nice man. And we told him what we were doing, and he was like, well, if you guys are looking to have Bible study, just have it at our church building. We're like, really? He said, yeah, sure, I'll unlock it. I live right next door. I've got the keys. And so, if you guys want to do something in there, you just do it in there. And so on Tuesday, Josh Austin was able to secure Bible study for Wednesday in this church building. And that's why I went back on Wednesday, so that I could be a part of those studies there. And I think we had about 5, 6, or 7, something like that first day. And Mo was a part of it. He sat in on the studies as well. And he became our contact for CBQ. Anytime I needed to get in that church building and hold a study, I would call Mo and say, hey, Mo, we're going to be there next Monday at 4 o'clock. Can you open the building for us? And he'd say, yeah, sure, come on out. I'll open the building. And, we would bring more bags of food and things like that to give to him while we were there also. And he just became a great person to be around, happy all the time. And, again, not even, not living in the best situation, but was appreciative of everything that we did there and that went on. So this is a picture of everybody, pretty much. If you look right in the middle, right next to Michael Miller, there's the man named Dominique. And Dominique was sort of our Mo of White River. They was met on the first day. You know, I think he was out in the parking lot somewhere waving his hands around all crazy, and it was like, who is that person? And turns out it was Dominique, and Dominique became a part of the group, pretty much. Everywhere we were, he was there. He would pass out flyers. He would invite people to the meetings, you know, and so we sort of just adopted him into the group and fed him lunch every day with the rest of the group. He would, you know, I didn't meet him on Monday, so I show up on Tuesday and I meet this guy. I'm like, who is this guy that's running around doing all this? And I think Jonathan and John Compton had gone to get lunch, and they come back and, you know, they're like, hey, everybody, lunch is here. And Dominique's like, oh, great. And he just runs down and gets in the van with Jonathan and John and sits in there and eats lunch, you know. And that's the man that ended up being the baptism that we had. And it's just so fitting that it was him. That when you go back and look through everything, of course it was him. You know, that's the way I feel about it now. But he's kind of like Mo, same thing. He was just a great guy to be around, always happy and helpful in everything that he could do. And that was the school building where we had the meeting. So at the end of each day, like I said, we'd have a meal and we'd have a meeting there at the Fort Apache School, the Theodore Roosevelt School. So the first day we had to assemble all these bags of food. So we had assembly lines, you know, had everything stacked out on these school lunch tables and just started passing bags, and we filled up 200 bags of food. And then again, a meal had to be prepared each day as well. So, you know, there was, I don't remember what was cooked each day, but there had to be, I know there was fry bread each day, and I think that's what's going on over in those pictures. And again, these are different days. One day it did happen to rain while we were up there, and so they had to get under the tent to cook the meal. And that just went on all three of those days. And you see there was lots of hands involved in the meal preparation. So night one, that Monday night that we were there, there were 12 to 15 people that showed up, which I thought was awesome. I mean, the fact that we went there and got 12 people to come out to this gospel meeting, I thought if we could double that by Wednesday, that's going to feel like a super successful trip. Well, you can see the third night over there, we went from, I think, 12 to 15 the first night to 60 the second night to 75 the third night. And if we had had a fourth night, I think there would have been 100 people. I mean, it was growing every single night. People were excited about it. When we left on Wednesday night, people were saying, you guys are going to do this again tomorrow, right? We can come back tomorrow. And it was like, well, no, this is the last night. And there was like genuine disappointment that this was the last night that we were doing this. But this is where we got our contacts for the Bible studies that we did the rest of the time that we were there. We got, you know, several people were involved in it. You know, Terry Baker, Evan Totticini, I think Rita Williams maybe, and there may have even been more that would go around with notepads and just get everybody's contact information while they were sitting there listening to the meeting or eating the meal, and get names and phone numbers and addresses and all those things. And Kelly and I then used that information to make phone calls to try to set up the Bible studies that we did the rest of the time. We had kids' classes while we were there, and you can see there were lots of kids there. You know, I think it was almost as many as like 20, I think, on the biggest night, and had like a, you know, VBS style stuff going on. This is just out the front door of the school there. So that just leads into sort of the last phase where we had the Bible study. In White River, we were able to use a place called the Hope Center. It was Hope Center Ministries. You know, I'm not sure what type of ministry it is. I think it was a Pentecostal type church where they also gave out a lot of, you know, supplies and clothes to the homeless and things like that. But, you know, again, how things work out, they were not our first choice. We were trying to find these other buildings to secure a place to have the studies. And I want to say the Hope Center was probably the fourth or fifth place that we tried, and they gave an immediate yes and said, that sounds great, you guys come on. And so we start calling people and telling them we're going to come, and it's going to be at the Hope Center at 4 o'clock on this day. We're going to have a Bible study. But we didn't have Dominique's phone number, so we weren't able to contact Dominique. And it may have been Annette that said, I'm so sad we didn't get a chance to invite Dominique. And I sort of jokingly said, oh, I'm sure he'll be there. He'll find his way there somehow. Well, sure enough, we show up and out walks Dominique. He just happened to be at the Hope Center that day with no idea that we were coming. And he's the first guy we laid eyes on. And again, I just think it's interesting how things work out sometimes. But that's the room we would use for the Bible studies there in Hope Center. And then at the CBQ Miracle Church, that's one of the studies that we had there as well. Attendance at CBQ, by the time we left, there was a lot going on for such a small place in CBQ. There were several deaths of people while we were there from accidents and things, and they would have these wakes and things like that. And the last day that we were there, there happened to be a wake going on, and so one person came to the last study, and she was about 30 minutes late. We were almost like, well, I guess nobody's going to come, and then she did finally show up. But it was pretty consistent in White River. That was the second time we were there. I think we had 10 or 12 that studied, including the people that worked at the Hope Center would stay and study with us. So that was good. And then here's just a few pictures to throw in at the end. The Hope Center would feed us as well while we were there. That's that picture in the middle on the top. That's Dominique up there in the corner playing patty cake with the girls. And it was just a good time. A lot of hard work was done. It was a great trip. It was a hard trip, but it was good. And I'm so appreciative, again, of the support that you guys gave us and continue to give us. And I don't know what the next opportunity is going to be for us, but I'll be excited for that one as well, and can't wait to tackle some other opportunity, whether it's back in Arizona or whether it's somewhere else. I want to leave you with a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This kind of became, I guess, the theme verse, if you want to call it, for while we were out there. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And that's what we went to do, was plant the seed. I don't know what's going to come of it. Again, we had the one baptism, but who knows what happens there. It's a tough work there. It's not in an easy to get to area. We did have the preacher from Sholo finally contacted us, and we gave him all the contact information for all those people. And again, he's only 45 minutes away, so I don't know if he'll continue it or what's going to happen there. Hopefully, because they were ready to hear the word, and that's got to start somewhere. And again, hopefully, that'll be the start of it. The other verse I want to read is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19 through 23 there. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And that's, I guess, my challenge to all of us, I know it's my own personal challenge, but I'll extend it out to all of you since you're here today. Let's see if we can plant more seeds. And not, doesn't have to be in Arizona. It doesn't have to be in Peru. It doesn't have to be, it can be right here. You know, there's darkness everywhere. Again, it was very obvious out there, and it might not be as obvious here at home, but it is here. And so let's all do more seed planting here in our own hometown. And that might mean being uncomfortable sometimes and doing something that you're not used to doing. But if we're going to become all things to all people so as to win them, then maybe we have to step outside of ourselves a little bit. And let's just see what kind of difference it makes, because I have a feeling that it can make a big one. So, again, I thank you for your support. I thank you for your time this morning, and I'll turn it back over to Jonathan.